Let's start with some parsha because it is Thursday. So we are now in the aftermath of Lag BaOmer, so that very special time period in between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos. And you know, when you think about like what does Lag BaOmer mean to you, so I would bet if I went around this room, I'd get a lot of different answers to that question. They say that they asked of late Malin what Lag BaOmer was like in the mirror. Like, what did they do in the mirror on Lag BaOmer? He said, we counted the 33rd night of the Omer. You know, like, that was about it. You know, obviously in different places it's celebrated differently. Those who are more connected to Torah Sanistar certainly seem to have a much stronger connection. But from a halachic perspective, you know, if you're an ish halacha, the Rama writes, Umar bimbo ktsas simcha, ve'in omrim bo tachlin, that it's a somewhat of a joyous day, your marbe ktsas simcha, and you do not say tachlin on Lag BaOmer. I would imagine most of us in this room have, since 2 years ago, have had a harder time achieving even that ktsas simcha, because it brings back some pretty awful memories. I think that maybe to contextualize what Lag BaOmer is, we can appreciate a little bit more how to reconcile that day and how it bridges us and brings us toward Shavuos. So we're not going to necessarily talk about the Parsha per se, but about the time of the year that this Parsha comes out in. So the Pri Chadash asks the famous Kasha. The Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis, tells us that 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died in between Pesach and Shavuos, Vigzlo Nagu Kavod Zalazeh, and the world was desolate, Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbeinu Shebedarom Vishon Alehem, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozer Ben Shamua. So he established five new Talmidim who became the ones who brought forward the Torah Shebal Peh, who became the Balei HaMesora, through which we learned the entirety of Torah Shebal Peh. And the Pri Chadash asks, what's the celebration? What, you want to tell me because they stopped dying? Mabakach, who cares? Hare lo nishar echan mehem v'kula mesu. That's a reason to celebrate? They'd stop dying because there was no one left to die, because they all died. So you don't celebrate when they all finished dying. That means they were all wiped out. You know, it's not like Tu B'Av, you know, like the last year in the Midbar. So the Gemara tells us that the people who were expecting to become Mesei Midbar, to die that year, and they dug a grave, and they went to sleep in the grave, and they were expecting not to wake up. And then a week later, they realize, oh my gosh, we're destined to live. So that would have been really exciting. That's a cause for celebration. We're destined to live. We're not going to die. Everyone died. They were all gone. So it says, Pri Chadash, I don't understand, what's the celebration? Mativa shel simcha zu. Furthermore, Rav Gedalia Shur develops the idea that there are three parts to the period of Sfiras HaOmer, and it corresponds to the Gimel Amudei HaOlam, that the first days, the first set of days relate to Avoda, right? Avoda, Karbanos were brought on Pesach, and this is the aftermath of those Karbanos, of those increased numbers of Karbanos. So the first, and not just aftermath, during, right? We start Sfira on the second day of Pesach, and there is an increased number of Karbanos and Yom Tovim. The second third relates to Chesed, and that's why they include Pesach Sheni, because Pesach Sheni was an incredible Chesed that Kosh Baruch Hu did with Klal Yisrael. Oh, you Tame, you missed Pesach Rishon? Normally it's, okay, Aver Zmano, but the Karbano, too late, you missed it. So sometimes you miss things in life, and hopefully you'll get it next year. Better luck next time. You know, but Kosh Baruch Hu Bechazdo decided that there's going to be a second chance. And then starting with Lag BaOmer, the emphasis is moved to Torah, because that's when Talmidei Chachamim were no longer dying, and the new Talmidim were able to start their journey of the Mesoras HaTorah. But how do we understand Lag BaOmer as a day of Kabbalas HaTorah? You know, the Kasha of the Pri Chadash is pretty strong when you apply it to Torah specifically. Meaning, that not only is the Kasha of the Pri Chadash strong, like, what are we celebrating? Everyone died. If it's Dafka meant to be a celebration of Torah, like, oh my gosh, look how much Torah was lost. I mean, we think about a couple of generations ago where the loss of Torah in the Holocaust of Gedolei Olam, Chassidish Rebbes. You know, like one of the biggest Chassidus in the world was the Alexander Chassidus. You ever hear of an Alexander Chassid? Even barely, right? Meaning, and the Alexander Rebbe was as big as any of the Rebbes, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Munkacher Rebbe and all the other, but his Chassidus all died. So there was no Chassidus left, there was no Rebbe left, there was no nothing. And there were tons of communities like that. The Rashi Yeshiva, and the amount of Torah that was lost. I mean, you look at, like, I always use the example of Rabbi Tzal Stern and Rabbi Moshe Stern. These are the Debrecina Rav and his brother. So they say that there were, I think, like 7 or 8 brothers, and all of them were Mitzianim and learning. Two of them happened to survive, and one of them became a great Rav in Australia and wrote the Tshuvas Petzalah Chachma. The other one became a great Rav in Brooklyn and wrote Tshuvas Be'er Moshe. I mean, can you imagine? But 3/4 of the family that could have produced that was gone. So this is what was going on with Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 Talmidim were gone. It was an obliteration of Torah. It was a destruction of Torah. So how do we view it as a celebration of Torah? So it occurred to me, and maybe this is obvious to everybody, that the day of Lag BaOmer was always only special because it was the Yahrzeit. Meaning, what made Lag BaOmer special throughout history, before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, what made Lag BaOmer special was that it was the Yahrzeit. It was the Yahrzeit of Yehoshua ben Nun. It's evidently the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu Chai. It's the Yahrzeit of the Ramah. It was the anniversary of the marking of the tragic deaths of 24,000 people, a quasi-Yahrzeit. And maybe the emotions that remain from the terrible tragedy that we experience in our lives on Lag BaOmer should make it easier to connect to Lag BaOmer, not harder to connect to Lag BaOmer. Meaning, in a certain sense, that's what Lag BaOmer always was. It was a day of marking untimely passing, or marking the deaths of Gedolei Torah, of Kedoshim. Rav Yeruch Malshin in Yireach LeMoadim in Maimor Chaf explains that when you think about Rabbi Kiva's willingness to teach new Talmidim, it's an absolute pella. It's an absolute pella. He saw a Churban that was Oyom Vinora. 24,000 of his Talmidim had died. A normal person at that point throws in the towel. But Rabbi Kiva got up, Bekol Kocho, and said, "Bebokr zora zarecha le'erev al tanach yadecha," that you need to keep going, that you need to, and who knows what kind of impact I'll have now in these twilight years of my life. And that's Rabbi Akiva's defining quality. The Avos Rabbi Nassim tells the famous story of a 40-year-old Rabbi Akiva watching how the water slowly impacted a rock and thinking, maybe Torah can impact my life. Now, most people at the age of 40, not knowing Aleph Beis, would say, you know, maybe I could become a Baal Tshuva, but to become a Talmid Chacham, that's, you know, my kids, I'll pressure my kids to become Talmid Chacham, but like for me to be a Talmid Chacham at that point, it's too late for me. But that wasn't Rabbi Kiva's attitude. He never had Yeush on himself or on anything, and that refusal to be Miyayish is highlighted by the Yalkut Me'am Lois. He writes on Koheles that Afal Pisha Kol HaToreach HaOtzum Shashika B'Talmidav B'chol Yomav Ovad B'Zman Kotzer, years and years of building so many Talmidim, of working with so many Talmidim, was gone like the snap of your fingers in such a short time. Lo Hisya'ish, the Iker Midah of Rabbi Akiva was Lo Hisya'ish V'Hosef L'Harbitz Torah V'Niskay Matarazo. And he was Marbitz Torah, and that Torah is what has sustained us in all the years since then. The Me'am Lois further points out that the refusal to be Miyayish is exactly how Malchus Beis David started. The Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Aleph, says that the Shofet Avtson was really Boaz, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and made 120 celebrations for their weddings. Ubechol achas va'achas asa shnei mishta'us. Achas b'beis aviv, achas b'beis chamav. They had, you know, like they have the l'chaim by the chasen, and the vart by the kala, whatever new excuses for parties we need, right? So they had two sets of weddings for each of his children. And then it tells us, v'kula mesu b'chayev. 60 children, 30 sons, 30 daughters, who he paid for 120 chasanas for, all died, all predeceased him. And then Boaz goes and he marries Ruth. And he was a zakin muflak. He was already exceedingly old. And the Yalkut Shimoni tells us, Osa halayla shaba aleha meis. That night that Boaz was Boel Ruth, he died. The last thing he did in his life was to be with Rus for one night. His last bit of koach. And what comes out of that last bit of koach, of when everything is gone and everything is lost and there's no hope, that last bit of koach is the beginning of the Malchus Beis David. And the impact is made with that last bit of koach. We've seen that nida in the generation after the Holocaust. The Kleisenberger Rebbe was sent to Auschwitz, and his wife and 9 of his children were sent there before him, and they all died there. So after the war, what did he do? He got remarried, and he had five daughters and two sons, and he rebuilt a Hasidic dynasty stronger than it had ever been before. And look at what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Look how he as much as anybody else, rebuilt Eretz Yisrael. Rav Aaron Cutler escaped before the war, but he lost his entire world, the entire yeshiva of Kletsk, and he managed to start a little yeshiva in Lakewood, New Jersey. And that little bit at the end, you know, turned to, he died in 1962. When he died, Lakewood was not big. It was he started this little place, a little place where they're learning Torah Lishma, and the impact is just extraordinary. So the celebration of Lag BaOmer is not necessarily about the particular Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Even his new Talmidim, we don't know that his new Talmidim brought forth the Torah, and obviously that's huge, and you can't underestimate that. But his new Talmidim didn't have like a particular connection to Lag BaOmer per se. They didn't have any notable accomplishments on Lag BaOmer. The celebration is about the attitude of Rabbi Akiva to carry on and not be miyayish about his situation. And maybe that's why Lag BaOmer kicks off the third trimester of Svira, which relates to Torah. That very midah is critical to achieving in Torah. By its very nature, becoming a Talmud Chacham is a process that is laden with setbacks and frustrations, where there are so many times in your life where you look back and say, oh, I wasted so much time. I really could have done so much. I had that opportunity and I blew it, and I didn't learn with Asmada, I should have, and I didn't, you know, or in worse cases, that Rebbe turned me off from learning, and therefore, you know, or I never fully grasped the learning that I was taught, and, you know, at a young age I decided that whatever, Gemara is not for me, whatever the challenge that people have. The success stories in learning are not people who didn't have setbacks. It's those who could look at themselves at whatever age they are, not in their 40s, not yet knowing Aleph Beis, like Rabbi Akiva, and say, there's no reason that I can't be a Talmud Chacham. I can always be a Talmud Chacham. In that light, we understand the message of Lag BaOmer and how to deal with the tragedy associated with it, especially the tragedy that happened just a couple of years ago. The message of Lag BaOmer is that no tragedy, no matter how great, no matter how overwhelming, no matter how much it chokes you and you can't even breathe when you think about it, will deter us from continuing to accomplish, will deter us from continuing to try to come closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel and accomplishing the Talmid Chacham. When we're given reason to grieve, we're going to be marbe b'simcha k'tzas. We're going to figure out a way to move forward and to accomplish more with our lives. We're not going to reestablish the entire Masorah of Torah Sheval Peh that was lost. We're never going to replace those 24,000 Talmidim. But there are foundations that can be built, foundations of Malchus Beis Tov. Not going to replace the 60 children of Boaz that died, but he could still establish a Malchus Beis Tov with whatever he's got left. And that's ultimately the goal, as Sfira comes to an end, and we're sort of looking back at like 49 days of supposed to be a growth, and Memchas Kinyanei Torah, and then one day Chazer et al, and we're like, I don't know, I was just busy. Like, you know, haven't really been focusing on the Kinyanei Torah. Didn't really, so what? So there's still a few days left. There's still, you know, just because we've fallen short of some of our goals, there's still more to accomplish. There's still more to do. That's always the it's always the push. We always have to be pushing ourselves to not be looking back and feeling dejected about whatever we could have been doing, you know, or whatever we should have done, or whatever we could have or should have accomplished. But okay, so let's accomplish today. So I'm going to learn Torah all day. We put that at the pasuk on the Aron in my shul. That's the motto. The motto is that you know, I'm going to try to make Torah. It could be my main occupation today. It'd be something that I focus on. I'm saying Rabbi Reisman was in my shul yesterday. I was in Toronto, but he came for a bris, and I wasn't there, which is very disappointing. But I got an email from him yesterday. I was in your shul. I was disappointed I didn't get to see you. It should always be for simchas. The shul is beautiful. I especially love the pasuk on the aron. So, which is good because people are giving me grief about the pasuk on the aron. What does that have to do with aron? Aron is supposed to say shvi yashem negni samad. Yeah, whatever. Okay, I'm like, okay, good. Okay, I have someone on my side. But anyway, so that's my take on Lag BaOmer and the post Lag BaOmer period. Okay.